This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Dear God, Boston. Oh, dear God. He can't legally buy a drink. You know who hasn't had 37 points in a playoff game? Jaylen Brown. You know who hasn't had 37 points in a playoff game? Jason Tatum. You know who hasn't had 37 points in a playoff game? Joel Embiid. Dear God, Boston. He's 20, and he's coming to take your bleep. You got young players. He's younger. 59 points in 72 minutes on 22 of 39 shooting. Dear God. Creating his own shot, 8 for 10, Stugatz, 80%. Tied for the highest field goal percentage by any player in a game this postseason. Contested shots in the half court, 9 of 10. Tied for the highest field goal percentage on contested shots in the half court of a playoff game since ESPN began tracking this stuff in 2014. Context. Over 1,800 instances of a player attempting 10 contested shots in the half court of a playoff game since 2014. Dear God. Boston, a white guy took you out. He's 20 years old. He's 20 bleeping years old. Oh, dear God. You keep telling me how young Tatum is. At 0 points in the first half, young. One turnover. They ran the offense through him. One turnover.
Pretty good second half, though, huh?
One turnover. Six turnovers for Tatum. Six in that pretty good second half. What was that? That is not supposed to happen. At that age, they were running the whole offense through him. Jay Crowder told you major adjustments. The major adjustment is Boston. He's coming to take your bleep. Tyler Hero wants your stuff. You got the youngest players. It's supposed to be Tatum and Brown's time. They went zone. All of a sudden, the average shot is from 18 feet. It's at the rim. You got to go get it at the rim.
I feel like a little rant before a rant. That was a nice little tease right there.
Well, the music ended and I lost all my steam.
Yeah.
I needed more music and now I'm out of material.
Yeah.
James Conner going to join us at 10:30 Eastern.
Oh.
Desus and Mero going to join us at 11. It's actually a hugely conflicting emotional day because you see this gumbo of the societal stuff and the sports stuff where you got the feel good and the feel bad, and you've got to almost literally be in a bubble in order to stay with the feel good, even as those heartbroken players are in that bubble and they're looking at what happened with Breonna Taylor and they're saying, look, we already struck and we struck in a way that brought attention, but not something that could bring change, because change of this sort takes a long time. And so they went back to giving us the feel good and the escape, and you could hear the heartbreak coming out of the players if you're familiar with what's going on in Louisville, and you really can't live in a bubble anymore because this stuff is all seeping into sports, and you've seen that the NBA is playing with these social justice messages, but they're just words, and they know that these powerful black men in this bubble know that they're just words. And when you see the system come down in a way that really, and this part is hard to escape no matter how you look at this stuff. The news that came out yesterday is the crime isn't to shoot a black woman, it's to miss. Like that's what the charge was. The only charge there was for missing Breonna Taylor in her home and hitting the apartment nearby, according to her lawyer, the apartment with the white people in it. And I thought that was a joke. I thought that was made up, that the apartment that got hit, the black apartment, the apartment with black people in it that got hit with stray bullets, there were no charges for that one. It was the apartment that had the white people in it, according to her lawyer.
So disappointing and so frustrating. And you're right about the players inside the bubble, although that goes for everyone outside the bubble as well. They're feeling The same sort of feelings that the guys inside the bubble were feeling yesterday and still feeling.
Not everybody.
Well, not everybody. You're right. But I do, Dan, I do think, I know they're just words on the back of the uniform, but playing these games and then having the ability to stand on a platform and not just deliver words, but your thoughts is a powerful thing for these NBA players to have the ability to do. Because I went to the post game after the game last night, and I was quickly reminded by Jimmy Butler and others, hey, this is what's important. The game we just played is not. And I actually left that coverage and went over to a news outlet to watch what was happening there.
And it's just a lot of talk, though, because the system continues to do what the system does. And I ask you again, if you haven't checked out the Big Suey in the Local Hour, we talked about some of this earlier. I ask you again to just examine how this must look and feel through the eyes of black people who mistrust the system in ways that perhaps you don't, who leave their house, and in this case, don't even leave their house, feeling a fear of a government arm that is armed, that is our police force. And no matter how you want to dissect the details on this, I don't know what happened there. You don't know what happened there. But just understand that that mistrust that black people have is earned. And when it looks like a cover up with police, what benefit of the doubt you might be willing to extend this situation has too much history behind it of mistruth and protection of the police instead of victims for you to simply accept what the police are saying with 100% certitude and then start the, you know, process of smearing the victims, which is rinse, repeat all the time. All I ask you to do is listen to people who are in pain. If you do not want to, if you do not respect humanity enough or do not have the decency to listen to people in pain, it seems like a very modest request. Just listen to people in pain. I understand it's easier to look away. It's more comfortable to look away. But even that would be better than what some of you are doing, which is not looking away. It's arguing. It's wanting to fight about this stuff. Fight about a request for making Black Lives Matter, turning it into a political organization that's Marxist or whatever it is you're doing. If you want to go down that path, that ain't listening. And if you want to make all of these gymnastics moves around this, the request is to listen, okay? And the request is for the police to stop being brutal. Those are not unreasonable requests. They're very simple requests. If you do not have the humanity and the decency to accept those requests and instead go looking for a fight, it makes me sadder than I even am at a time where America feels in my lifetime sadder than it's ever been. The best feeling in sports, beyond the emotional human drama stuff, the best feeling, purely undistilled sports joy, is the surprise. The team or the player who surprises you. And so you have, in the Miami Heat, a team that was not expected to be where it is here. We were all of us had the same opinions when Kawhi Leonard left and went out west. Okay, it's Philadelphia, Boston, and Toronto in the east, correct? That's what we're doing this year. And Indiana and Miami will be in the middle there somewhere. But the top of the east is not going to be Miami.
Good team, not a great team. Fair to say the ceiling for this Heat team was Eastern Conference semifinals, right?
I think most people are hugely surprised that the Heat are even in these games against Boston. The idea in these games, I mean the Eastern Conference Finals, and that they're leading 3-1, and that last night they do it with this particular set of things in play. They only got scoring from four guys. The rest of the team, two baskets. Two.
It's amazing.
They got scoring from four guys, I'm going to say it again so you absorb it. The rest of the team had two field goals. They got three free throws from the rest of the team. So that's four guys that are doing that, and one of them who just got his playoff moment. One of them who now has on his resume something it doesn't feel like Jason Tatum has on his resume. He does this at a ridiculous age where you just saw that entire Miami Heat team that's been a surprise shift in the fourth quarter of important playoff game to he's going to handle the ball. The offense is going to move through that guy. We got Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler will help us late with things, but everything that's happening late in that game, we are going to have that guy dictate the offense against a very good defense that Toronto, which was very good, couldn't quite solve, and he did it with the playoff contested shots. He did it with creating his own shot. You just saw that team shift in terms of where the power is to, oh, this kid's the future. Our first round pick is the future. He can handle the ball. He can move without the ball. We're supposed to be wondering about what his growth will be in a year or two or 3 years. His time is right now.
Yep.
He took a playoff game in the Eastern Conference Finals at 20 years old. The Miami Heat needed to be bailed out. They were only getting buckets from three guys. They weren't getting the ball movement you're used to seeing. They gave him the ball, and they said, you create, you do something with it, one turnover. Never mind the 37 points. If you tell me going into that game, Tyler Hero's going to get all the run. Everything's going to be running through him. He's not going to score, but the ball is going to be in his hands, and he's going to have one turnover. I'm going to say, no, he's more likely to score 37 points than he is to have one turnover against that defense if they're telling him, you take over the game. Everything here is yours.
And eventually the Celtics knew it was coming, and they still couldn't stop it because you're right. They were running everything through Tyler Hero. And just to give it some context, just what he did last night as a 20-year-old, 37 points, Eastern Conference Finals. Forget about Eastern Conference Finals. Just scoring 37 points in a playoff game. Kevin Durant did not do that until he was 22. Giannis until he was 24. Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard until they were 25 years old.
Well, beyond that, I would say to you, Giannis, just so you know, Giannis has only done that game twice. That's right. The two-time MVP of the league, and only two times has Giannis done that scoring game. And really, it wasn't that scoring game because it's not all contested shots, and it's not all what Tyler Hero was specifically doing with range, both at the basket and, you know, 27 feet from the basket. That is announcing yourself in the way that the best players do. Now, you mentioned
in a way that Magic did.
Yes, in the way that, well, Magic Johnson, was that the game when Kareem wasn't even there and Magic had to play center? Is that the, or do I have my games mixed up on Magic Johnson on when Magic Johnson did that early in his career?
I believe Magic, it was his rookie season against the Sixers in the NBA Finals, and Kareem could not play in that game. Magic had to play center, was playing point guard. I think he had 42 points.
He had 42 in 1980.
So think about that for a second. He had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Magic Johnson did that when all of a sudden he's playing center with a skill set that at the time we'd never seen from someone at that size, but everything was moving through him. Tyler Hero he scored more points than minutes last night, correct? He had more points than
37 points in 36 minutes. Yeah.
Off the bench.
That's off the bench. He didn't get in the game until there were like 3 minutes left in the first quarter, correct? He didn't even get into the game. I'm going to give this stat again just so that you hear it. 59 points in 72 minutes on 22 of 39 shooting. Now, who was it that you mentioned has also done something similar? Was it Brandon Jennings that you guys said? So this doesn't mean that you're going to automatically get historic greatness, but if the best thing in the sport is the surprise, the most prized and treasured thing in the sport in terms of value is the young player that you have cheap, that a franchise has cheap, that it can grow and that is at a very early age promising you some of the stuff that you can enjoy for 10 years.
It was Magic Johnson, it was Derrick Rose, and yes, it was Brandon Jennings, which makes you think perhaps we should pause and just speaking about how great Tyler Hero might become.
I'm not even talking about how great he might become. I'm talking about how great he was in the most recent basketball game I've seen played by human beings.
Hard to be better.
I'm not talking, you can go ahead and have your arguments another day about what he's going to be and whether this is hyperbole or whether we should all shut up or whether he's going to have 3 points in the next game. I'm just talking about what I saw last night. What I saw last night was a Boston Celtics team that I keep getting told that the young talent is better than Miami's young talent, go up against the zone and settle for an average shot of 18 feet away from the basket, when in the last game that they won, after Marcus Smart yelled at Jaylen Brown about not being tough enough against the zone, they were taking their average shot 10 feet from the basket. You tell me what happened last night, because I saw one young player show up, and I saw one young player for the Celtics show up in a second half, in only a second half, with his season on the line, with a bunch of jumpers, with a bunch of stuff not near the rim. Like, that's what I saw last night. You could go ahead and tell me and have your arguments about what Tyler Hero's not going to be. But what I saw last night was a superstar who was better than anyone he was playing with.
Cha-ching! Time for some ads.
I just don't want him to be Brandon Jennings. That's all. It was a great rant by you, but I was just making the point that I don't want Tyler Hero to turn into Brandon Jennings. I'd like him to turn into Magic.
The points you were making were 2 points.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the future.
Yeah, I love the future.
You wanted to do the future.
Yeah.
You wanted to do what he's going to be.
As they're a game away from the NBA Finals.
And tap the brakes. They're both your signature moves.
I am just pointing out that one of the three guys, Derrick Rose was an MVP and would have been a great player had he not gotten injured. The other one was Brandon Jennings. That's all.
You got injured.
Why hashtag just saying, Stugatz?
Okay, sorry.
You have the need to do that for some reason. Deezus and Mero are going to join us at 11 o'clock Eastern. James Conner is going to join us coming up next. I have got a bone to pick with our next guest. I think he's going to find this shocking. We'll get to him in a second. Can you put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show? Do you know why someone has a bone to pick? Like, I don't know what that expression means. but I'm very angry with him and have been for a while. We'll get to that in a second. But first, Christine Lisi, we interrupted you.
And finally, rabbits can smell their dead relatives in the feces of their predators. Speaking of feces, Dan, back to you.
Oh wow. I mean,
unacceptable. Stugatz is clearly
shaking his head at feces.
Stugatz said. Stugatz is clearly the feces around. All right. Thank you, Christine. So James Conner's on with us, and he's probably mystified right now. Why does this guy have a problem with me?
I mean, James Conner, everyone loves him.
I know.
There is no one that dislikes James Conner, has any sort of beef with Conner. You're going to beef with him?
And I have had it for a while. And James, I'm sorry to do this to you this way, but when I heard that you as a football player thought that Remember the Titans was an exceptional movie, one of your favorites of all time, as a football player, you cannot allow the game to be decided on a surprise 80-yard reverse. That's not surprising anyone. And that movie can't.
You're right.
Movie can't end that way, James.
Wow, I didn't expect that. I was ready for something else, but
please tell me what you were ready for.
You got to believe in miracles sometimes, man. And at the 80-yard reverse, if that's what Denzel was feeling, it took him to the house, Coach Boone. So he called it right, I guess.
Yeah, but if Mike Tomlin made that call and you were in the huddle, James, you would say, we're not doing that play.
That's not going to work. Ben, he moves like a skyscraper with legs. It's not going to work.
No, we will try to execute to the best of our abilities.
Oh, God. James, come on. You've been about Tomlin too much. you really are one of these people who don't blink because your coach says you're not allowed to blink, so you never blink.
That's how there is to it. You know, he preaches that every day, and that's just what we do over here in Pittsburgh. So, trying to get it going.
That seems like it'd be very bad for the eyes, James. It seems unhealthy. Like, you need to blink every once in a while. It's okay to blink when someone asks you a question about Remember the Titans and that fraud ending. You can't say, we're just going to take it one play at a time, and if Tomlin calls that, I'm going to try and execute it, because it's going to be a 10-yard loss.
And if we're on the field, you can't blink.
Okay. All right. Very good.
They're 2-0, not blinking.
Okay.
Dan.
They are not splash. Blinking. Thank you.
They're not losing either.
I have a couple of difficult questions for you. Like, when you, James Conner, a man who's overcome a great deal, is very physical in a physical sport, here's the news that Tyrod Taylor goes from having cracked ribs to a doctor puncturing his lung trying to get the medicine to him. What does James Conner think?
You know, honestly, my opinion is irrelevant, but I just feel for him. You know, I understand the accidents happened, but that was, you know, he couldn't play in the game. And, you know, if that's, you know, I know he works hard, you know, because anybody who's on his level and, you know, has a name, you know, they're working hard, and it's obvious. So I felt for him. It was very unfortunate. I just hope that he can get healthy and get back to, you know, doing what he does. So it's very unfortunate, but.
Dan, you're trying to get him to blink, and he's not going to blink.
He's not going
to
blink.
He's not going to blink.
I wasn't trying to make him to blink. I was just trying to ask him about, like, the pain is crazy in that sport.
That's a media trap right there. You're trying to make him blink. He's not going to blink.
Okay. I mean, a punctured lung.
Dan, not blinking.
Okay. He's
trying to make him blink.
All right. How about if I ask him another question that's difficult in his own locker room? Because I wonder, and I don't know that we're going to get anything out of you on this, because, James, I understand that you don't want to make headlines, and you got to be careful during some of this stuff. Because you don't want to start things. You just want to be done with this and go back to the locker room and not have any headlines. But you've got an offensive lineman. A running back loves his offensive lineman. Alejandro Villanueva, who has done a couple of things that run counter to what the team is doing. He comes from the military, and he put something different on the back of his helmet than you guys did. Does anyone say anything to him, or how does that work? Can you talk about that in any way publicly? I'm not trying to gotcha here. I'm just curious, like, how does that work? You love your offensive lineman. He comes from a military background. You have to honor the things that your guy has in terms of principle, but does anyone say anything to him?
You know, we're a unit as one, and we come together, you know, guys from all different backgrounds and different ethnicities, different places, and we all come together for, you know, one goal, and that's, you know, to win a world championship. And so that's what we do, and that's our teammate, and we're all together as one. And so in house we've talked, and you know, we're on to the Houston Texans, and so, you know, we're still as one. You know, we're not gonna let nothing, you know, get in the way of that, and, you know, try to tear us apart or nothing. So we're he's still, we're all Steelers.
Not blinking, Dan.
Stop trying to make him blink.
Do you feel like I'm trying to tear you apart? Do you feel like I'm responsible for trying to tear you guys apart?
You personally? No. Y'all just doing your show. I respect it.
Okay. Because I understand keeping that in the locker room, but you've gotten really good at this media game of not blinking. You're
one of the best ever.
Right now, you're proud of yourself, right? You're like Tomlin is sitting right across from you, not blinking, and you're looking at him, and you're also not blinking. Correct?
No. We got. It's a work day today. It's Thursday. It's a work day. So. We're gonna have a good hard practice today.
All right, James. I got something that's gonna crack you open. I'm gonna break you open here. Roy, what is your favorite of the Doritos? Which is it that you say is the best of the Doritos?
Oh, it's definitely Cool Ranch, Dan.
Yeah. Connor, your opinion on this?
I'm a Cool Ranch fan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
We've got agreement.
But James, the problem with Cool Ranch, do you agree, is that will stay in your breath for days, man.
That's all right. You just have to know what time of the day to eat them. I don't know if you're going to be around people later on or not. I usually like to eat them late night before bed. So, you know, I wake up and brush my teeth, and then I'm good to go. Nobody knows.
Okay, there you go. He was cracked open. Congratulations on your 2-0 start. Congratulations on not blinking. James, it's fun to watch you work. Thank you for being on with us, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Loved it. Loved every second.
Okay, I don't believe you, James. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
You did not love every second. James Conner is a liar. He just was trying to grind his way through it. He's trying to muzzle his way to a 3-yard gain and just go back to the huddle.
Tomlin's never been prouder. You're right. You are right.
He is undefeated.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
I tried to do that segment without blinking. That was very hard.
I love the visual of Mike Tomlin and him just sitting in a room right now during that interview, not blinking.
Yeah, well, Tomlin was sitting there saying, you better not blink. You better not blink, because I'm never going to blink. My eyes are totally dry.
It's that Diddy GIF or GIF before you hop in my mentions of him and the guy with the blonde mohawk just staring at each other.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Has Tomlin surgically altered his eyelids so that he never blinks?
I mean, you have to if you're going to preach it.
You got to be a leader by example. Yes. Desus and Mero going to join us in 15 minutes, and our show is not one that slinks away from the awkward or awful. So I want to talk to the audience now because I want to tell you, the audience, that I felt you on the back of my neck during that interview. I felt your hot breath. I could feel the way that you were poking me in the ribs saying, entertain us, clown. Make this better. Make this better. And Stugatz and I tried doing jazz hands. But James Connor, the Terminator, was here to simply break us with the athlete interview. And this happens every once in a while. And this is no knock on James Connor. He just did his job exceptionally well. He left Mike Tomlin's unblinking side and came over to us and then went back to Mike Tomlin without uttering a word anyone can use in his locker room.
He's Tomlin's best student. I mean,
he's pretty good. He is not Antonio Brown. Whatever it is that you imagine Antonio Brown is, that is not what James Conner is. But philosophically, I just want to explain this to you as something that exists within the ESPN Radio Sports. We talk to athletes because we've got contracts as a television network that force them to come on our network. Every once in a while is a partnership. They'll throw us a Steelers running back. That's the way this works, this arrangement. And to me, it's one of the reasons that I try not to do too many athlete interviews is because their job is to play defense against what it is that we're doing. It's a contractual understanding between us and the league that we're in bed with that they will throw us athletes, and many of those athletes will just try to get back to their locker room without getting their coach upset. It does not lead to free-flowing, honest conversation. It does not generally lead to vulnerability, certainly not in that sport. Basketball players are freer because they have more actual power and they're not as disposable, but not in that sport. In that sport, these guys are available on Thursdays at the appointed time, and they come out here and they make their rounds with their television partners, and that's what the transaction is. I just want you to know what it is. No one forces us to have athletes on, but that's the reason we don't have more of them on.
It leads to what you just heard. I mean, that's...
It often does and has for many years. Yes, Chris.
Also, you could maybe not go Jonathan Villanueva's second question.
It's Alejandro. You gringoed him in a way that I don't know why you made him Jonathan. He'd be closer
Johnny
to,
boy.
He'd be closer to bad. Juan. Sorry, but I waited till the end with that, Chris. Like, that wasn't my second question. That was the very end. We did a Remember the Titans rift. We did jazz hands all around him.
Chris, I got to defend Dan here because you did great research. You provided us with stuff that James Conner is into, and we went with Remember the Titans based off of your research. I thought it was a great way to start. And Connor was having nothing to do with it.
I will not abide by this name shaming, considering Dan called him Connor at one point, and we were all uncertain whether or not Dan knew what his first name was.
I was infuriated at that point. Have you guys not noticed that that's what I do to people when I'm angry? When I spit their last name at them?
Wiener!
You're going to come after me for not knowing Connor's first name on a guy who just met Villanueva? Jonathan? Jonathan Villanueva?
That one's going to stick with me. I don't know what I did.
It should stick with you forever.
Jesus and Mero are going to join us next. I'm just explaining to the audience because it is a funny dance we do. And I don't mean this as a rip job on James Conner after he's left, no less, which is the most cowardly way to do it. But he could feel us trying to sort of not agitate him, just make him enjoy what we were doing.
Yes, it's why you don't really love having players on. You don't really love having coaches on. There are a few exceptions. Aaron Rodgers would be an exception for you because he's, at this point in his career, willing to talk about...
Well, he's not afraid.
Yeah, he's just not
afraid. We've been doing this for 17 years. You don't think we know? That's why we do the blink thing. We try to make it entertaining. If the guest isn't going to be entertaining because he's in business football mode, we gotta turn it up. And then we have a little game there. Come on. We know.
But that's the thing, though. The thing about it that is always amusing to me is the never-ending parade 2 minutes into one of those of people breathing on our neck, reminding us, this isn't going well. We see you. Change it up. And then Stugatz and I start dancing, and all of a sudden Mike's in here with a tambourine, and we're all shaking our hips, and James Conner is staring unblinking through our souls, and he doesn't need a hole to open to run right through all of us.
If you really want to help, just take a screen cap of his Wikipedia and send it to us, because we know when it's not going well and we got to go to something else. Be helpful.
Was I thinking of Jonathan VR? Maybe that's what I was doing.
I don't know, but if you want to continue this throughout the show where you rub your freckled forehead in shame and just mutter under your breath some sort of despondence, I've been at the microphone one segment in the national show and I made a Villanueva Jonathan. if you want to tell us the things that you were thinking, I'd love that as a thread through the remainder of the show. No matter who I'm talking to or what we're doing, you wonder out loud what it is you were thinking making Villanueva Jonathan.
Stugatz called him Pena last week, so let's not pretend like Chris is the only one that made a mistake.
I did. Yeah. Alejandro Pena.
No, but wait a minute.
You're all pointing fingers, right?
Dodgers middle relief guy.
It's Connor did
this
to
us.
Connor did this.
We are blinking.
Connor's over there. Connor's over there.
Everyone's blinking.
Connor's not blinking. All of us are blinking, but at least, Chris, Stugatz kept it in within his heritage by making it Alejandro Pena. Like, you, I mean, you just totally whitewashed the Army soldier, Jonathan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.